Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jimbo Wallace from Reverend Horton Heat. You're listening to Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom. Rock on.
Hey, this is Big George Foreman, and you're listening to Hard Rockin' Sports. Don't you change.
Hi, this is Gazer Butler, and you're listening to Hard Rockin' Sports with Jeff and Tom.
Hey, what's that? Mark Gutscoff and Trickster hanging out my good buddies, old Jeff and Tom, right here on Hard Rockin' Sports. You listen, crank it up.
With the players.
Come on, live direct from hell. Mono.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, of course, the wide world of sports. And, folks, we got an action-packed show tonight. I don't even know if 2.5, 3 hours or whatever is enough time. I have to tell you, I I don't even know where to start. I'll start right here. There's a certain goat back. The man has returned to save the NFL from boredom. We are ready for the return of the king. That's right. Tom Brady back in action. Coming for you, Jeff. Coming for you. Ha, 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 ha. So we got plenty. We got guys. I don't even know where to begin this week. There's so much NFL and Major League Baseball free agent frenzy is combined, going along with holy cow. You know, you got basketball, you got football. I mean, I'm sorry, you got basketball, you got hockey, you got March Madness. There is so much going on. Tom Brady's back. Let's see, Deshaun Watson's doing the victory tour, basically, right now. Baker Mayfield's threatening that he wants out. We have some sad news with Razor Ramon passing away this week. Another wrestler, Scott Hall, passing away. So much. I'm telling you guys, I don't even know where to begin. Jets, Giants, both doing okay in free agency. The Jets did pretty well this week. A couple of tight ends. We got Dolly Parton. Yeah, that's right. Dolly Parton has made it all the way to the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. There you go, Joe. Let's go, Brady. And we'll talk a little Ozzie Maiden feud. I got so much to get to. I don't know where to begin. I'll start with this. I hope you guys have had a great week. Again, we always want to stress our good wishes to the people of Ukraine, and we wish we had a real president in the chair to cockslap Vladimir Putin. Unfortunately, our current president is asleep at the switch, and the world is watching. So our apologies to the people of Ukraine, and I wish them well. And I wish this was, this had to happen to them, and I wish it would have happened a couple years ago when a real president was in there. This probably wouldn't have happened. Sup, Mike? Sup, Joe? So anyway, yeah, he's every bit the potato. Again, happy anniversary to our good friends Joe Castano and Mike Weissman and their wonderful company, Hemp Wizard Beer Care Co. Fine supporters of our show, and we love them. Jeff is a big supporter, a big user of their products. Can't say enough good stuff about it. So make sure you check out our boys, the Hemp Wizard Beer Care Co. And I wish them a happy anniversary and many more years together. Also, coming up, guys, if you didn't know it, Club 516 in Old Bridge, New Jersey, our good friends at the Old Bridge Militia will be doing a night dedicated to Johnny Z, Johnny Zazula. If you guys don't know who Johnny Z is, he is the guy who basically put Metallica on the map with Megaforce Records. He's had a whole bunch of people also over there with, I think, Anvil and Ace Frehley. But Johnny Z, his wife passed away a year ago, and Johnny Z passed away a few months ago. So at Club 516, right town over from me in Old Bridge, New Jersey, they will be celebrating the life of John Zazula. So if you guys are around on, I think that's April the 9th at 8 o'clock, make sure you check that out at Club 516. Reach out to me if you need any more information. And remember, this Saturday night, I believe 11 p.m., the return of Jeff Kalwinski to the stage with his new band, Deceiver. So we got lots to talk about to Jeff. He's got his big secret. I believe he's going to reveal. I still don't believe this is anything more than a ruse. There is no secret. But we'll find out in about 2 minutes. Let's see. Let the people know. Use Wizard1 promo code at checkout for 40% off at hempwizard.net. That's right. Check out our good friends at Hemp Wizard Bear Care Co. But go to hempwizard.net and pop in the promo code WWizard1 promo code. And check out for 40% off your product. Great stuff, Jeff will tell you. But guys, let's kick off the show. We got a lot to get to. We got a lot to talk about. And this show does not start until the sexiest man on his side of the screen jumps in. My good buddy and my friend of 40 years, Mr. Jeff Kalwinski. What's up, Hefe?
What's up, man?
Hefe, let's start off the show the right way. I've already started off the right way by introducing Mr. Tom Brady back. But, Jeff, how was your week?
Horrible.
Why was it horrible?
Was Tom Brady came back.
Ah, Jeff, this is music to my ears.
I'm hoping.
This is music to my ears.
He has a herniated disc in his fucking neck, and he can't feel nothing from the fucking eyelids down for the rest of his life. But if he retires and stays retired,
You think that would be it?
Huh?
Yeah, listen, I think it's great for football. I think it's great for football.
It's not good for football.
It's absolutely great for football.
That's bullshit.
That man bullshit. Is back. And I thought he would be back.
I'll tell you exactly what he did.
Go ahead.
He knew exactly what he was doing. It was all bullshit.
Okay.
All right. And he did it for attention. The fuck did it for attention?
No, I think he did it to try to get out of Tampa. I think he wanted to go to Frisco, and he was hoping they would trade his rights.
He ain't going anywhere.
He's not now. He's certainly not going anywhere right now. I would be shocked if that trade got pulled up.
It was all fucking smoke and mirrors.
It's very possible, but listen, Jeff, we got a lot of quarterbacks to talk about tonight. We got a lot of football to talk about today. We got baseball. We got a ton of things to talk about. I don't even know where to begin sometimes, but there's one way we should begin the show, Jeff. You know how that is?
Fuck you, piece of shit. And it was his birthday this week.
Yes, it was. That's why I played it. That's
he referred to himself as the legend of the earth.
Yes, he's the legend of something. But we won't get into it now. We'll save it for a little bit later. But the passing of Scott Hall, who was on death's door a long time ago, got kind of rescued. He did. Another wrestler has joined the ranks of the hereafter, Jeff. So we'll have to talk about that. But Jeff, you said to me today you were ready to break out your big secret, your big story, that you're ready to some big news of a reuniting of an old band of yours.
Yes.
Are you prepared at this point to have make that announcement?
Nope.
I told you it was fake, folks.
You know why?
I have no idea.
because you want to hear it.
I could care less. I'm just curious.
You wouldn't bring it up if you didn't want
to
hear it.
I promised the folks last week.
Action figures or dolls.
I'm
bringing dolls.
Uh-huh.
And you like this for the look who's coming back. Good, he fell. Look at his fucking head.
So, all right. So, as I suspected, this is a fake story. This is no. There's nothing to this.
There is. Matter of fact.
Yes.
There's going to be a semi reunion on May 28th.
May 28th. Okay. May 28th is probably Memorial Day weekend.
It is Memorial Day weekend for Fleet Week.
Okay.
A show for Fleet Week.
Yeah. That is your big.
It is the band. The band. It is the.
So what band? Okay, so make the announcement. Go ahead. I'm giving you.
When I'm ready.
All right, we'll move on.
When I'm treated with respect and dignity on this show,
you're going to be waiting a long time.
I'm willing to announce it here at this show.
You
right
are.
Okay. Oh my God, I'm getting a big grief.
By the way, where are you right now in your house? You downstairs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife went away.
Yes.
She went to San Diego to go see her daughter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I'll be home alone for a few days.
Nice.
And the dog, being that she has no eyes and is a major pain in the ass at times,
mm-hmm.
I can't bring her upstairs and let her roam around upstairs. I don't want her to bump into stuff and everything. So she knows a way around down here. So I'm down here with her.
Okay. Yeah, got a little bit of an echo in the downstairs. Any news on the house? Is it still on the market? No takers yet?
It's off.
Okay. Off. All right. So you settled in for a little while.
Long story short, we found out how much a new one will be a month with the money that we were okay to get.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't sound appetizing.
Oh, it sounded appetizing, yeah, if I was a millionaire. like almost $3,600 a month. I'm not going up that high.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy shit. Wow. All right, well, listen, you're in a nice house. You're in a good spot. What the hell? You know what? There's worse things to be going on right now.
Yeah, well, that's soon to happen anyway, but not by our hands.
Yeah, well. Sleepy Joe, Jeff, a lot of football stuff. I don't know where you want to start. I can throw a lawn dart in the air and we can come down on an interesting topic. So,
I don't have my hat, but I like wearing my hat on Thursdays. You know why?
Why is that, Jeff?
It shows unity. It shows support.
I will tell you, your team had, you know, here's what I liked about your team's moves this week. Okay. And I mean this sincerely. Joe Douglas did a smart thing. He picked up some very good players. Tomlinson's a good guard. I can't say his name.
It doesn't matter. Right. With a name like that, you got to.
Yeah, the tight end for the Bengals. He just got Conklin from another tight end. Mm-hmm. A corner, a safety. You got DJ Reed. I got the notes here somewhere. I got to find it. But what I liked about it was, these are not top-tier guys where you're getting, you know, 5 years, $80 million. These are like 2 and 3 year deals, 20, 25, 14. But they're good, solid players who are not going to be, if it fails, they're not putting you back for the next 4 or 5 years. I think Joe Douglas filled some spots. Now he's giving himself some flexibility in the first round of the draft where he doesn't have to fill a huge need. You got a couple of tight ends.
Yep. He took some pressure off the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. He can go anywhere he wants right now. He can go anywhere he wants. He can trade those picks. He can move down.
I agree.
You have
a chance to get two premium players. You got it. I feel as though you got to take them unless somebody blows you out of the water.
Well, that's the point. You give yourself the option now where if somebody blows you out of the water, or let's say you're targeting one guy. Let's say you're targeting Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan, and he comes off the board. Now you got options. You can trade one, trade both. You can move down. You can move up. You know, he's left himself a spot where he can legitimately grab the best player available. I'm not a big fan of that. Take your biggest need and fill it. But he can legitimately.
So many needs. I think that just about any player at that time is
100% right.
To answer Joe's question real quick, Joe, I got to stay. Due to my job, I have to stay where I'm located on Staten Island. I really can't leave New York City just yet. A few more years after I retire, if I want to, I could jet out of there. But
there you go. The boys from Black Sasquatch are hanging in there. What's up, boys? Bob, Ted, the boys.
What's up, Mike? Mike Poco, enjoying retirement. Ex-co-worker.
Oh, nice.
I like the ring of that. Ex-co-worker.
Ex-co-worker.
Good for you, Mike.
Good for you, Mike.
Bleed the city dry, bro.
That's it. Bleed them dry is right. It's been a long time. Keep collecting that money.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do like what Joe Douglas did this week because he filled some needs with some viable players and left himself the opportunity to not kill the cap the next few years, and he's setting himself up to have a good draft. Now, we all know we could all draft wrong. We've seen it happen on all teams, our two teams included, but he's at least put himself in a position where he's not desperate on draft day.
No, he's not. And Tom, not for nothing, he wasn't desperate. When you need as many players as they need and to shore up as many positions as they need to, he wasn't going to be desperate anyway.
Yeah.
He had no choice. But, like, you know, with the fourth pick, he was going to get a premium player.
Oh, yeah, still is.
He was going to get a premium player even within the 10th pick.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Joe, just to answer your question, move to Florida. I don't know. Is there any gators down there?
There's gators.
I'd like to be there where there's some alligators. You seen alligators when you
were there? I did not see any gators when I was there. I did not see.
There's no point of living in Florida.
I will be moving, Joe, down to Florida, Sunshine State, the next few years, I hope. But it definitely will be happening. My wife and I are definitely looking forward to that.
Matter of fact, just to show the guys, look, I have this one right now. This is the beard oil.
There it is.
This is Cushman's. This one smells good. This one's like Christmas. This one smells like Christmas. I like this one.
And our boys, they're celebrating 1 year, so congratulations to Mike and Joe. And,
yeah,
and many, many, many more years, guys. Many more years. And thanks for being part of the show with Jeff, myself, and Tom.
Real quick, let's touch base real quick. I know that we got a lot of things, but the Giants.
Yeah.
I am not enthused with the lack of moves. Now, I understand that they had a little bit of tightness with the salary cap.
Yep.
But, I mean, they just let Logan Ryan go.
Yep.
When they were trying to get rid of, was it Bradbury?
Well, the problem with Bradbury is he's a big savings, but he's still a big thing, and they really don't want to just release him. They're hoping to trade him for a pick and get him off the books that way. But, you know, I was surprised today with Logan Ryan, but Logan Ryan didn't play well last year. I like the guy, and he's a solid guy in the locker room, but he did not play well. And they're under the cap right now, but they don't have any maneuverability with free agency. They have no money for the season. You know, they're basically, you know, right at the cap. So they still have to do some more work. And a big piece of that would be Bradbury if they could trade him. But I still don't think he'll wind up on the roster for the season.
And the signing of Tyrod Taylor, that's got to be concerning if you're any kind of Daniel Jones fan. I mean, I know that he's not the answer. He's not a long-term answer. But he's a good enough stopgap where he may be the better option. And I don't know. I just don't.
I think it's a great move.
Are going to go into a battle for the starter's position?
I don't think so.
I think the point of signing Tyrod Taylor.
Well, I do, and here's what I see with that move, Jeff. The move simply is simple. It's this simple. If Daniel Jones comes out and he's got a little pressure because you got a legit quarterback. I'm not saying Tyrod Taylor's a great quarterback, but he's a legit quarterback, better than
he's somebody to push.
Yeah,
he's going in the right
100%. And what you want is if Daniel Jones comes out and doesn't play well or Daniel Jones gets hurt, Tyrod Taylor is an easy answer to who can finish the season and be around for the next quarterback who you're going to draft the following season or pick up some young quarterback. And Tyrod Taylor would be that stopgap, you know, guy for you. And the truth is he's actually making more money than Daniel Jones this year. Daniel Jones is like 8.3. He's 8.5.
Well, that's, you know, listen, he's still a lot of money.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
But, I think that's another reason why I wouldn't be surprised if we started by week one.
Listen, it would not surprise me. I don't think I don't believe that this coaching staff and this front office is married to Daniel Jones. I think they're going to give him every opportunity. I would be shocked unless he's hurt. If he doesn't get a good portion of the first half of the season, to get going. And listen, I do like they picked up the kid Feliciano, who's going to play center for them from the Bills. They picked up Golowski, who's going to play guard for them. You know, they kind of shored up the offensive line. Now, again, small moves, cheap moves, and you know, let's hope they'll pick up. You know, are going to pick a big player again in the first round of draft. I think they're going to go offensive line. So this is going to look like a whole new offensive line, other than Andrew Thomas.
What about the? We're definitely going to touch base on Baker.
Oh yeah, it's coming up. Oh yeah,
hang a few minutes for that.
Yeah.
What about Baker Mayfield and Daniel Jones? Real quick, we might as well just blend the two together.
Go ahead.
Transition over to Baker. With certain teams not getting the quarterback that they want, or right now not much movement in the quarterback with Tom Brady coming back and
mm-hmm.
Rodgers signing. Who was the other guy that signed in his?
What's his name? Cousins signed a 1-year, $35 million offer with the Vikings.
Yeah. do you think personally feel if the Giants know that they're not going to use Daniel Jones,
mm-hmm.
I would put him on the block and try to get something for him. Why not? Why not? Even if it's a late-round pick, why not? I mean, I wouldn't let him go for a seventh-rounder, but a fourth- or fifth-round pick, why not? Because if signing Tyrod Taylor, to me, tells me that there's considerations.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Jones, but
Baker
Mayfield now possibly on the market. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, that's an interesting one. First of all, I don't blame Baker Mayfield. I all week long I've heard people bashing and saying that he's the team doesn't like him, the organization doesn't like him, he's a baby, he's this and he's that, and he might just be. But the minute the Cleveland Browns met with Deshaun Watson to have a conversation while you already have a quarterback,
writing was on the wall.
Absolutely. I don't blame Baker Mayfield at that point for coming out and saying, I want to be traded. Today he's demanding a trade. They've said no.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
I would too. I would tell him, I ain't playing. I'm going to hold out.
Yeah, I don't blame him on this. If you're the Cleveland Browns, you cannot bring in Deshaun Watson to have a conversation like that and think that that's not going to piss off the guy who's been playing quarterback for you. Now, I'm no huge fan of Baker Mayfield. I thought he was overrated at the time. I think he's never lived up to the hype, but you can't expect him to at this point accept that. Now they've screwed because Deshaun Watson turned around and said, "I ain't coming there." So they're screwed now. Yeah. So not only do you not get Deshaun Watson, Jeff, but your quarterback, it might not be your first choice at this point. Now he don't want to play for you. Now what do you do?
Well, there's a couple things that I feel as though that they can do. Okay, they're going to have a long closed-door meeting with Baker.
Yep.
If this is what they want to do, they have to have a very long closed-door meeting with Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
And he could turn around and say, you know what, you're going to have to pay for me to stay. And I'm talking some major league extension.
Yeah.
So that they can get rid of him. That's one thing.
Okay.
Second of all, how do you know right now – right before the draft, the Browns could be bluffing as far as telling Baker Mayfield we won't trade him, because who knows what team is going to end up looking for a quarterback. You still have Indianapolis. You still have Houston. You still have New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
You still have Carolina. There's still plenty of spots, teams looking for a quarterback. You still have Seattle. Cleveland would be stupid to shut the door on the trade. If you didn't want him, you're certainly making yourself look dumb by saying, no, we're not trading you.
Yeah.
At this point in time of the game, I could see if this was, you know, you're heading into camp and it's the end of June and you're like, no, listen, you're not getting traded. That's all there is to it. You were stupid to bring in somebody that hasn't played in a year.
Yeah.
And still has not been cleared by the NFL, I believe, to play.
There's a lot of things to talk about with that. We'll move right to that. There's a lot of quarterbacks to talk about, and Baker and Deshaun Watson's actually a big topic because he impacts so many different teams and other players. But you know, let's finish up with Baker. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Baker Mayfield's got his pants in a bunch, and I get it. But if you know, again, now if you're Cleveland, what do you do? I mean, you almost can't bring him back.
Listen. This is a guy that came to the team willing to play after they went 1-31 in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's somebody that came to the team willing to play and be on board with everything they did with four head coaches in 3 years or 4 years, whatever it is. So, you know, this is somebody that he's gone through some shit in that organization.
Right.
And this is how they repay him, by talking to Sean Watson.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you couldn't, I guess if they did, no matter how they do it.
No.
Somebody was going to know about it at least.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There was no way in the world they were going to meet with Deshaun Watson and not get out there. So, yeah, again, once you, here's the bottom line. The minute you were the Cleveland Browns and you decided to have a public conversation with Deshaun Watson, you have to know that Baker Mayfield can no longer be your quarterback. Yeah,
it's a hard sell.
Yeah.
I know something, Tom. Let me ask you something. Suppose they come back, and you know he's not going to get this money because they were asking Deshaun Watson. But let's just say they give him an escalating contract starting at $40 million a year.
Okay.
Okay, and it's a seven-year deal or something like that. And by the sixth or seventh year, this guy is making like fucking $60 million a year, $65 million a year, which in 6 years, you know the quarterbacks are going to do.
Oh, yeah, it's getting
there. The salary cap bottoms out, which I highly doubt.
Yeah.
You know that the quarterbacks are going to be making money like that. And you make him the first $60, $65 million a year man, you know, with a huge sum of guaranteed money. I think that's the only way that he stays in Cleveland, that he willingly stays in Cleveland.
I don't disagree. They're going to have to sweeten him up to a certain extent. But, you know, and he's not worth, we both know he's not worth it. The question is, what do you replace him with? That's the question. Do you draft somebody this year? I mean, what viable? I mean, there's still viable quarterbacks on the market. I mean, Winston's still out there.
Winston's out there.
Yeah, I mean,
Who's viable?
Andy Dalton, Nick Foles. I mean, they're viable. I'm not saying they're great quarterbacks, but
so you would want one of them over Baker Mayfield?
I wouldn't, but I also am not going to break the bank to smooth, you know, to rub tonic on his ass, you know, saying I'm not going to give him a pay raise. The guy doesn't deserve it. So would I go to one of those guys for a year? I would, but in that division, that's much better now. They'd be dead last.
Now, I'm not trying to advocate for Baker Mayfield because, you know, he's on the Browns. He's not on the Jets.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a couple of things I want you to think of. This is a guy that's been on that team as quarterback for 4 years running right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That's one thing. Played through four different head coaches. First Cleveland quarterback to get the Browns into the playoffs in 26 years, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
First Cleveland quarterback, I forget what the exact stat was. They beat Pittsburgh twice in one season? Or
first time, they were the first, he was the first quarterback in 17 games to beat them, which is basically 17 years minus maybe a playoff game or two. So let's say 15 to 17 years to beat the Steelers. So you're 100% right. That's a good stat.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, listen, does this translate to a trophy? No, it doesn't. But it definitely translates as a building block. Now, Cleveland for the longest time had number one picks and picks in the top five for God knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
And they never capitalized, really. I mean, other than Myles Garrett, maybe like Nick Chubb, they didn't really do much with the pieces that they had.
Yeah.
But Baker Mayfield solidified that quarterback position for four seasons.
Correct.
There's really nothing to sneeze at with the Cleveland Browns.
I agree, but do you want to hear his stats for these 4 years? I have them up on the screen for you.
Go ahead. Yeah, okay. I read them, but please.
Here's his record for the 4 years. 6-7, 6-10, 11-5, and then 6-8 last year as starting quarterback. His yards is 14,000 yards in 4 years, so let's say a little over 3,000 yards a year. 92 touchdowns and 56 interceptions, and his completion percentage is 61%. So modest stats, I would call it, in this era of football.
Modest stats, but you want to know something? Compare them to any other Cleveland quarterback since they came back in the league.
Agreed.
What was the most years that any – and they were rebuilding while they drafted him. What was the most years any Cleveland quarterback had in the previous 20 years or whatever it is that they were in the league? Probably not even three. Would probably, if they even got a quarterback that hit three.
I'm going to tell you in 2 seconds. I'm looking it up right now for you. Here we go. You ready? I got the list.
Okay.
Okay. So let's start in the last, you said 20 years?
at least.
All right.
Well,
so
when did they come back in the league?
1999.
All right, so close. 23 years.
Okay, so I will tell you right now. Okay, 1999 is Tim Couch and Ty Detmer. Year two is Doug Peterson, Tim Couch, and some guy named Spurgeon Wynn. Tim Couch, Kelly Holcomb, Tim Couch, Jeff Garcia, Trent Dilfer, Charlie Fry, Derek Anderson, Brady Quinn and Derek Anderson, Colt McCoy, Brandon Whedon, Jason Campbell, Brian Hoyer. I would tell you, Jeff, that Colt McCoy's 2 years, Derek Anderson 2 years, and they're not full seasons. Tim Couch had parts of 3-4 seasons as a quarterback is about it. Everything else is basically 3-4 guys split in a season.
Yeah, it's
so, and that just goes back to that point. That doesn't go back before that.
Let's just real quick too.
Sure.
His first year, what did he miss the first two games of the season because Tyrod played and then he got hurt?
Yeah, he played. Tyrod Taylor at least played the first parts of the first three games, and then Baker Mayfield was in there from basically either the end of week three or week four.
Yeah.
So
I remember. Actually, I believe he came in versus the Jets that year.
Oh, it's possible. I don't know if I can give you that.
I remember them saying. I remember there's something about they didn't adjust the game for him.
Okay.
They were prepared for Tyrod Taylor, and they didn't adjust for.
I want to say you're right. He came in, I think it was a Sunday night or a Monday night, and he came in late in the game and actually, I think, won the game with a touchdown.
It was against the Jets.
Yes, I think you're 100% right. I'm thinking back to that. I think that was also a Sam Darnold game, obviously.
Yeah.
Who, again, yeah. Another guy who's – so, yeah. So, I mean, listen, Baker Mayfield, listen, it is what it is. I don't think he's going to – I would be shocked if he's back. It won't surprise me, but I will be a little shocked because of the situation. I think this will lead us into our Deshaun Watson take because Deshaun Watson seems to be making the rounds. And basically he had permission, and all of these teams that he's talking to, Jeff, I've never heard this before. Maybe you have. I've never – they've all the teams that he's talking to already have deals in place with the Houston Texans – that are approved, and all he's got to do is decide which team to go to.
Well,
I've never heard that before.
I don't think that, you know, at this point in time, if you're the Houston Texans, you know, you maybe not, I mean, we don't know what the deals are. I'm assuming
nothing's been announced that I've heard.
But you got to figure that they're not going to be getting three number ones. I would have to think it's got to be near impossible, no?
Oh, boy, you know what? I don't know that. I would say they're getting at least two. I'm not sure. Again, all I've heard is that three teams have deals in place, and all Deshaun Watson has to do is say yes to any one of those three teams.
That anybody involved, the Texans, one of these teams, Deshaun Watson.
Saints.
Knows how much? What's that?
I'm sorry. I thought you were going to ask a different question. Go ahead.
No. Do they know how many games he may be suspended for from the NFL?
No, I don't think so. I think right now what I heard today was a lot of people think he's going to get six games and then appeal it and wind up with four. They don't think that there's any way that he can't get suspended. The NFL has to do it just to save face, even though he's been acquitted of all criminal charges.
I agree.
How
are they not going to...
Listen, you know, 22 people, I guess we all can't be, we can't assume that everybody's lying. I would imagine there's some of them that are jumped on the train, but I can't imagine that there's not a handful of those ladies who are. And if you're the NFL, I don't think you can let him run around the league without having been suspended. Especially this year, he got paid every nickel he was owed.
Well, you know what, too? You got to think that the people, when they this didn't go to trial or whatever.
No. Grand jury acquitted him.
The people that were suing him,
yep.
they really didn't bug out very much, did they? I didn't hear much from them.
They don't care because to them it's not about the criminal trial. It's about the civil penalties.
Well,
so
it leads me to believe that maybe there are no, maybe he is being honest. Maybe there is no charges. Maybe there is no.
Not necessarily. Charges. Don't forget, OJ was acquitted on the criminal charges and paid $33 million in civil damages.
I understand that. But these 22 went at them 22 versus one.
Yeah.
What happens if they split that up?
Oh.
And now there's 22 individual cases.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because when the law comes, you don't know they did this as one case. Now do they get to go after them separately?
Don't know. Don't know the answer to that question at this point. And remember, only 9 of the 22 were, I think, criminal complaints. I think the rest of those, the other 13, along with the 9, are civils. But I only believe they were trying to get him on 9 counts for criminal charges.
Well, don't get me wrong, 9 is 9.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It's still not good.
No,
you go out and you molest 29 women. That's, you know.
Yeah, again, I think here's the big question for me, Jeff. Let's say good. So again, Hard Rockin' Sports, Jeff and Tom, we're hanging out here on a Thursday night, St. Patty's Day. Happy St. Patty's Day to everybody. Hope you had a good day. Nice afternoon with my wife. We went out and had a little lunch, and we had a couple drinks, and I drove, no drinking and driving. I made sure I stayed safe, and got home in time just to do a couple hours of the show. So we're glad to have you guys with us. Looking forward to Thursday nights, as we always do. Lots to talk about.
You could have kept talking about it. I went right on the other side.
I figured I could get a little spot in it. But Jeff, real quick, I mean, if you're Deshaun Watson now, let's say you make a decision, you take the Saints, which I think is where he's going to wind up. But he picks the Saints, he goes into that, he's going to have a press conference. You know, what do you think he's got to say at that press conference? Does it have to be, you know, I didn't do it, you know, these people are assholes? Like, does he have to be contrite? Does he have to kind of say, hey, you know, maybe, you know, I don't feel anything I did was inappropriate, but if, you know, somebody does, you know, of course I don't want, you know, what, do you think he's got to address this in his press conference? Can he get past this and have an opening press conference that doesn't include making some sort of statement about this?
Well, honestly, I have a feeling as far as him and his press conference goes.
Okay.
That if he gets traded, say, by Monday, and he's on a new team.
Yep.
What is he going to say? He's probably going to say, well, I can't really comment on the case because it's not completely closed yet.
Maybe.
Maybe facing civil suits and everything. Mm-hmm. So right now, I can't comment. As soon as I can, I will. And then, you know, he could turn around, be found innocent of everything, and then just be like, you know, listen, I was found innocent. There was no charges founded. And, you know, I'm here to play football. I've been out of the NFL for over a year, and here I am ready to go. So that's what I'm concentrating on. I got a new system to learn. And, you know, the usual stuff when they want to bypass and skip past something, they know how to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see how he can have a press conference and basically invoke his Fifth Amendment rights and not have some sort of a, you know, it can't be a prepared statement. It's kind of got to be one of those things from the heart. Otherwise, you know, he's going to get haunted by everybody this year. I mean, he needs to find a way to say something that will at least take some or if not all the pressure off of him. What's up, Robert? Nice to see you back, my man.
What's up, man?
So, you know what I mean? I just don't think he can go to a press conference and say, you know, basically no comment and then think it's going to go away each week. I think he's got to address it.
Yeah, he's definitely has to address it one way or another. But
yeah,
he has time.
Yeah,
because it's still not a closed case. So he could just simply turn around and buy time by like, well, I can't say anything else about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do this. I can't do that because it's not completely settled. So it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, I got
you. But if his legal team may turn around and advise him, don't say anything.
Tell Lenny we said, hey, what's up, Lenny? And saw the pictures of the house upstate. Tom, I commented, but Tom, I said it's beautiful. And looking forward to hearing the album. Can't wait for you guys to pop the album out. So tell Lenny we said hi, and glad you guys are around. But, yeah, Jeff, listen, man, I get it. It's just, you know, to me, I think he's got to address it. So, you know, the bigger question obviously is he's still running around. It seems to be down to 3 teams, 1 division. You know, I think before, and it's going to help us transition to Tom Brady, but before Brady unretired, you know, I think the Deshaun Watson signing in that division was probably going to change the number one team in that division. You know, if he had gone to any one of those teams, I think they automatically become the best team in the division.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, he obviously he's the best quarterback in the division at that point. I'm not the hugest Deshaun Watson fan, but I think he in Carolina, Falcons, and the Saints, you know, and Tampa at that point, you know, I think he's the best quarterback in, you know, he makes a difference.
The Falcons might not have Ryan much longer anyway.
Well, I know that there's been some talk of trading him, and I think it's going to be depending on whether they sign Deshaun Watson or not. I'm not.
Are they one of the teams going after?
Yes, it's the Saints, yeah. The Falcons, and the Panthers.
Just those three. That's the only team.
Again, the Browns were in it for a minute. They're out right now. I think Deshaun Watson told them he's not going there. The Colts are interested, but the Texans said no way in the world we're trading inside our own division. There might have been
give them the right package. You'll see how fast.
They basically turned them down. I think at this point, if you have three offers in front of you, unless you're getting blown away. The other team I thought might have been interested, but they signed Trubisky was the Steelers because I think Tomlin would have loved to make that happen. And Flores is there, and we all know Flores loves Deshaun Watson. That's one of the beefs that got him kicked out of the Dolphins is that he was so hyped on trying to get Deshaun Watson. But they signed Trubisky, which we'll talk about. You know, that's another one that just blows my mind. But we'll get to that in a minute. But
Trubisky?
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy, Jeff, who got ran out of Chicago, you know, got replaced by Nick Foles and Sam Dalton, and then turned around last year, didn't play, and turned it back into a starter without a snap of the football. And people have called him a reclamation project, hasn't started a game in 2 years. It's amazing, right?
Yeah, of course. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Rob, you can come on anytime you would like, my friend. Anytime you want to come on and talk baseball, and the Three Stooges, we'd be happy to have you. So let me know when you want to pop up. But, yeah, Jeff, I mean, Trubisky's the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, probably one of the most highest-class organizations in the league, a team that's transitioning from a Hall of Fame quarterback. And he's taking a guy who got ran out. Now, listen, he had winning stats up there in Chicago. Wasn't terrible. Just never got them over the hump. Who knows? Well, but the guy has transformed his career without starting one football game.
Well, I don't think it's so much, Tom, that he transformed his career as it is that the NFL itself is so hell-bent on that magic or that position, mm-hmm. that if you could play it, you're going to get a chance. It just goes to show you what kind of short-term memory everybody in the NFL has.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good call.
Okay.
Good call.
If I remember right, he was barely able to throw the ball downfield at one point in time. He was throwing the ball all over the place, right?
Yeah. And again, like I said, it's not like he, started five games for the Bills last year and played really well. Here's a guy who came in some mop-up duty and played and turned it into a two-year contract with one of the best teams in the league, not one loss records last year, but just as a team that's does things right. And people were chasing this guy, chasing him. And meanwhile, he lost out to Nick Foles and Sam Dalton.
Yeah, pretty sick.
Yeah. Guys, don't forget the Johnny Z, our friends at the Old Bridge Militia on April the 8th. That's right, Club 516 right here in Old Bridge, New Jersey. Check
Isn't
out.
Is it a booby club?
I think, I'm not sure about that. I think it was at one point. I'm not sure it is now. But make sure you guys check it out. You get out to see they're honoring Johnny Zazula. Again, along with his wife, Marcia. Big players in the hard rock and heavy metal world. Introduced Metallica and a lot of other bands, Anthrax, I think Anvil Jeff, Ace Frehley was over there. So they're going to do a night to remember Johnny Zazula. Make sure you support that. And I always support our good friends over at the Old Bridge Militia. Good people over there. So Trubisky, Jeff, that's an interesting one to me. I mean, the NFL quarterback landscape has completely changed in a week.
Yeah, I would say.
It
changed nowhere near the way that we thought it was gonna.
Nope. I don't know if I got any of those right. I can be honest with you, but I think at this point you're probably looking at a few teams. Obviously, a week ago, I thought the Bucks needed a quarterback. They're good. I think the Saints obviously need a quarterback. I mean, now we don't know what's going to happen in Cleveland. Seattle still needs a quarterback. You know, I think Geno Smith even left out of there now.
Seattle?
Yeah. I mean, Robin, reach out to me during the week. I'll set you up for next week to come on. yeah, Seattle. I think he was in Seattle last year.
Yeah.
I think he's gone now. I saw that before the show.
Wow.
yeah, so, and, you know, listen, looking at this, Jeff, I mean, right now, look at the quarterbacks in the AFC compared to the NFC. It's amazing. I mean, just, you know, I mean, Herbert and Burrow, obviously Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, I mean, Derek Carr. I mean, just the AFC West alone, top to bottom, with Russell Wilson, Herbert, Derek Carr. I mean, you know, just, you know, an amazing division with quarterbacks. And now Trubisky's in Pittsburgh. I mean, it's, you know, the AFC's got some quarterbacks. The NFC, it's not as stacked, but I got to tell you, the quarterback carousel spun, and it didn't land the way I thought, but there's still a lot of quarterbacks needed, and the question is going to be, how they fill these roles. Garoppolo seems to be – I don't get it. The 49ers, Jeff, are probably very close to being a Super Bowl team, and it seems like they're trying to find a way to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo and start Trey Lance.
Yeah, I mean, at least you would think, but it doesn't seem that way. They still got him. You don't hear anything.
Yeah, no, I know. The winds have definitely blown that way. They're trying to find a way to trade him, get something for him, and it seems like they want to that Kyle Shanahan wants to go with Trey Lance. So it's going to be interesting.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
I don't know. I'm not a huge Garoppolo fan. You know that, and I know you're not. But you know, at the end of the day, unless I missed something, I did not see much out of Trey Lance this year. That I don't want to turn that team over to him.
He didn't play that much. He didn't play that much.
If he was good enough to play, do you think he would have played?
No.
Exactly. I do.
No. I think they keep him on the side because they have a plan as far as he goes, and they're sticking to it.
Yeah.
Because they had Garoppolo.
Uh-huh.
And because that they were a successful team and made the playoffs. If this team fell short, I bet you Trey Lance would have come in a lot sooner.
Okay. Now, guys, I want to do announce. Starting next week, we will do two divisions each week. Starting next week, Jeff and I will break down two divisions, the last two being our beloved AFC and NFC East. So each week leading right up to the draft, Jeff and I will break down the divisions. We'll give you our thoughts on their free agency. We'll give you some thoughts on their what they'll do in the draft and just what they look like at this point in time heading into training camps and everything else and OTAs. So be on the lookout. We turned the corner now from the combine. We're heading toward the draft, so we're going to set you all up with our picks. Remember, the NCAA tournament's going on. I watched a bunch of basketball games today. So we got a lot to talk about over the next couple of months. But the Hard Rockin' Sports Show should come back every Thursday night when Jeff and I get together, and we do this each week. We got plenty to get to. I don't know. I don't think so. Answering your question, Jeff. But we'll find out next week one way or the other. All right, so let's come off of football for a momento. My dad had a meeting this week. His section was meeting, having some sort of a party, so he was unable to attend this week's show. So
we remember that when
he loves to be here. All that good stuff. He will obviously rejoin us next week. I missed having him this week because there is a lot of baseball talk I want to get to. So I will have to bounce that stuff off you a little bit. Jeff,
he posted some kind of injury, huh?
Yes, the half man fell off his walker or fell off a bottle cap. something like that, and injured his knee.
Cap, it might have been like a three-story fall.
That's true. That's true. So, yeah, he the half man is injured. I believe, from what I understand, I believe the calf man is couch surfing right now.
Really?
I believe that is the case. I've been told the half man, I have not been able to get him on the phone, but I hope he's okay. I believe the half man is a little couch surfing. I got a shelf with his name all over it. Holy shit. Wait a second. The half man just posted Davante Adams to the Raiders.
Davante Adams to the Raiders.
Can you verify that, Jeff? Can you get out there and verify? Is that Davante Adams been traded to the Raiders?
Davante Adams to the Packers trading wide receiver Adams to Raiders.
Wow. That's a blockbuster. So they signed.
The Packers are trading Pro Bowl wide receiver Davante Adams to the Raiders for two 2022 draft picks.
Wow.
The latest first rounder.
Wow, Jeff. So let me ask, it's breaking news. I'm a little surprised. We got to be surprised that they signed Aaron Rodgers to a multi-year deal and then trade Davante Adams, the guy he wanted back there. What do you think of that move? And does this, I mean, think about this AFC West now, Jeff. It's loaded with players right now. Does this change the balance of power in the AFC West?
I don't know if it's going to change the balance of power, but it's definitely making it one of the best divisions in football. But let me ask you this much.
Go ahead.
He wanted to stay because Davante Adams, now he's gone. Now he's gone. So what happens to Aaron Rodgers? Does Aaron Rodgers now turn around and say, guys, listen, fuck you, get me out of here?
Yeah.
With his number one target gone?
You know what? It's
kind of dirty fool, don't you think?
Well, again, you know, the whole idea was I believe that they were trying to save a few dollars because they needed to have money to sign Adams. And I think he was kind of kicking back some dough to make that happen. Now, I didn't see his final contract, so I am not sure about that. But that is – he said he didn't want to play on the franchise tag, which was probably, I think, $30 million for the year, if I'm not mistaken. But either way, it was a lot of money. But I am completely shocked by that.
Yeah, I would say. I kind of am myself. Wow. Aaron Rodgers got to be pretty fucking furious.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely tell you that. But, you know, Jeff, look, I mean, okay. So, you know, I think we were all looking at the offseason and how well the Chargers have done. You know, they land a few new players. I think Randy Gregory wound up there. No, Randy Gregory went to Denver. But, you know, this is a team that's, you know, adding some players that, you know, everybody's thinking they're going to make that next step. And now the Raiders, who I thought was going to take a step back, but now with Josh McDaniel, it looks like they're all in. You know, Jeff, I know you're going to disagree. I don't think Kansas City is the shoo-in to win that division next year.
Oh, it definitely didn't get any easier for them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I got to do it. I got to do it while we're on air. I'm texting the half man.
Okay. He's on Facebook right now. You can grab him right this second. So
I want to get him on the phone. I want to tell him.
Oh, boy.
I want to tell him to get on the air.
This is interesting, folks. Hard Rock and Sports breaking the news right here that Davante Adams, the number one receiver, probably in the league, and certainly for the Green Bay Packers, has now been traded to the Raiders. Jeff, what was it that they gave up? A couple of number one picks?
Number one and a number no second round pick was announced, just the first round.
Okay. Well, big news.
Don't even know what the second one is, actually.
Wow, that's big news out here, folks. And if in the football world, the AFC West just got trickier, just got deeper, just got better. So if you're an AFC West fan, boy, you're going to enjoy the season this year. Denver's gotten better. Obviously, the Chargers have gotten better. Kansas City, I don't think gotten better, but they still got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And they're coming off another successful season. So, the Raiders bring in Josh McDaniels, and their first splash, besides keeping Derek Carr, is the trade for Davante Adams. So it's going to be interesting. Right now, I've got a feeling we might be starting off next week with the AFC and NFC West divisions in Jeff and I's breakdown. So stay tuned for that.
Marcus Mariota. Nobody's mentioned his name. I haven't heard his name.
Nope, he's still out. There's a whole bunch of that's a, again. There's some guys out there that may be getting jobs this year as starting quarterbacks that might, in years past, might not have gotten a job. We'll see. It's going to be, you know, there are again. Seattle needs a quarterback for sure. The Saints might need a quarterback.
Well, they don't have one on their roster.
The Saints?
No.
Right. So, but if they make the trade for Deshaun Watson, I'm saying that's why it's up in the air. So,
they make the trade for Deshaun Watson, but
yeah.
Right now it's up in the air, officially up in the air because they don't have one.
Correct. That's that 100%. So there are three or four teams that are still looking for a quarterback out there. There aren't too many great ones. I'm still surprised that the Vikings re-signed Kirk Cousins, Jeff. But thinking about it, what's the viable alternative? I'm not sure. So that's an interesting. So it's going to be it's interesting, and we'll I want to hold off on the last quarterback I want to talk to. I wanted to spend a couple minutes, Jeff, in the first hour talking about another wrestling legend who took it who left us. I'm going to play a quick video, and then the other side of that we can kind of have a little bit of our eulogy.
Okay.
Your father. Last night, I hurt someone real bad.
Elaborate, my son. What provoked this act?
I wanted his development.
But my son, it is written, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods.
Hey, man, he took the first swipe.
Haven't we always been told to turn the other cheek?
Yes, father. But when he took that swing on me, he broke my toothpick. So I raised him high above my head and slammed him to the ground.
Toothpick? You slammed a man to the ground because he knocked a toothpick from your mouth? Who do you think you are, Razor Ramon?
Why, father, how'd you know?
The new generation. Put your faith in us. And this one's for Father Carrick. Oh, and this one's for Sister Joyce.
Your tax man. Oya, Mexico. You steal from Razor Ramon. You rip off the bad guy. Do you know how long and hard I work to buy this precious gold? How dear to mi corazón, man, my heart, this gold is. Do you know, tax man, what a guy like me can do to a guy like you? All right.
We say no problem. You want a title match?
I gotta tell you, that's the worst fake Spanish guy of all time.
I gotta be honest with you. I have never once ever knew that Razor Ramon, in any circumstances, was ever looked upon as a good guy, a baby face, until that clip just now. I hate Razor Ramon. Never liked him.
I agree.
I thought it was a stupid character.
I agree.
That, like, you were glorifying a coke dealer.
Yeah.
For the most part, that's exactly what you were doing. Yeah. And I just never, ever liked him.
Yeah. I mean, to me, you were glorifying a fake version of Tony Montana. It was just, it was dumb. Halfway through his sentences, he's speaking in non-fake Latin, the Spanish. It didn't make any sense. The whole character didn't make any sense.
No, it didn't. It didn't make sense. A half man texted. He said, give him a half hour.
Okay.
So let's see if he comes true.
Jeff, do you want to do a little bio? Have you done a little bio for him? I have this Wikipedia up if you want. I can.
Well, I know I read about him somewhere. And, you know, he came in with the through the WWE. That's where he got his first big break, really.
Yep.
He was someplace else wrestling with Sean Waltman, who was – the 1-2-3 kid.
Yes.
X-Pac was his name. And I don't know how he tied in with Kevin Nash. But I know that he formed the Outsiders with Kevin Nash.
Sure.
And went to WCW. Mm-hmm. And then eventually they ended up making up NWO.
Okay.
And that went through its different factions. But when it originally happened, it was Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and Hulk Hogan as the NWO. And they pretty much ruled WCW over there for a couple of years.
Yep.
Competing against the WWE. But I got to be honest, I remember Razor Ramon coming in and not ever liking him and his character.
Yep.
He never held a major title, like a heavyweight championship or anything. He was an intercontinental guy, I think, two or three times.
I think he won the tag team title also.
Yeah, he won the tag team title a couple times.
Yep.
Minor championships. He never got top-notch.
Yep.
But he was a top-notch talent in the eyes of very many in the league. I think he was just as famous for the times where he collapsed in the ring due to drug-induced stupors than he was for just about anything else he did in the ring.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was around for a while.
Yeah, he finished his wrestling at basically...
like 2011 or something.
Yeah, 2010, 23rd return to WWE, 2014 to 2021. I guess he was an announcer or something. But, yeah, I mean, listen, I was never a fan of Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. Was not my era, to be honest with you. But they were big names, especially in WCW. What do you say? It's another one of those guys from that era. He had a lot of drug problems, like you alluded to, Jeff. So
yeah.
I thought we'd spend a minute as we always try to do and say goodbye.
I've read up on him a couple times in the past, and I'll be honest with you, I was going to do something for him this week, and then I started reading up on him, and I was just like, why? What was the allure?
Yeah.
Scott Hall and the Razor Ramon character. You know, I just don't understand it. And I just couldn't bring myself. I was like, you know, I just don't like this guy. I don't see no interest in him.
I think
his downfall was more interesting than his rise to stardom.
I would agree with that. I would agree. It's simple. Listen, you want to say that there are characters all over the WWE, WWF. And the only thing it's done is given me this weekend I will be getting the Peacock Network on, and I will be going back and watching a bunch of old wrestling because I got the itch again this week. But, guys who are fake characters, Chief J. Strongbow was an Italian guy. You know, I get it. You know, I mean, you know, the Iron Sheik was did not hate the United States. There was a lot of that. Sergeant Slaughter never served in the Marine Corps or the Army. But
go back to the first name you mentioned.
Chief J.
Strongbow.
Yep.
He was like an Italian from Brooklyn or Manhattan or something, I believe.
Yeah.
But the thing is, because of the lack of internet and other wrestling thing, you used to get wrestling magazines, you would see pictures of these guys from different territories once a month when you would get the wrestling magazine.
Yep.
You would get you would see this maybe once in a blue moon on a Saturday night, they you would catch another wrestling promotion somehow, some way, maybe like on channel 39 or something stupid like that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody used to get on their TV because it faced east when the broadcast was on, and they were able to catch the signal.
Yeah.
Most of the time, you didn't know who these guys were. Nowadays, with the internet, you could look up anything on anybody within seconds.
Yeah.
And know who they really are, this, that, and the other thing. So you can't have a guy that's pretending to be an Indian, but he was really, a Pakistani 7-Eleven manager for 5 years in Boston or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work anymore.
Nope.
But now it was a different story back then. And wrestling, I think people accepted that.
Sure.
Because they needed to know who the good guy and the bad guy was. You needed to draw the line in the sand and see who was going to cross it.
Yeah.
Because they wrestled. They didn't do what they do now. Now is all mic skills.
Yeah.
And if these guys don't have the look or the personality or whatever, nobody cares. And I think that's why wrestling is in a total lull right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But, the sad part is is Vince McMahon going to be around for the next rise in wrestling?
That's a great question.
Sometimes I've seen him. He doesn't look so...
No, definitely.
Age.
Well, listen, the guy's had a hard life. I mean, I know it, when I say hard life, I don't mean, you know, the guy's been running the streets trying to find a nickel. The guy's steroids and all the other stuff that he's gone through and the partying and all that stuff. I don't know. But the problem with the Razor Ramon thing was it was too far-fetched. It just was a bad imitation of an Italian guy playing a Cuban guy in a movie.
Well, actually, yeah, but I don't even know what he was in real life because his name is Hall, Scott Hall.
Yeah, I'm just saying is, you know, Al Pacino was an Italian guy pretending to be a Cuban, you know, cocaine dealer. Scott Hall decides to do a bad imitation of an Italian guy doing a bad imitation.
Yeah.
You know, it just was bad. I didn't understand the character. And I don't know, I don't remember Scott Hall as Scott Hall. You know, so if he wrestled as Scott Hall in the early parts, I don't remember that. I remember Razor Ramon.
When he first came, before he came into the WWF,
uh-huh.
he did, I believe. But, you know, once he got into the WWF, it was Razor Ramon and then Scott Hall. Just for interest, if you're interested or not, Vince McMahon, 76 years old.
Looks older.
Oh, yeah, I would have figured closer to 80, but 76 years old.
Okay.
He's been doing this since... I mean, God knows how long, and it looks like without much in the way of a stop.
Wow.
You know, you think about it.
No.
12, 11, 13 years old, somewhere around there, and seeing him on the TV.
Yeah, I think.
Saturday nights.
Yeah, mid-70s, he, you know, started to take over for his father, and then from that point on, you know, late 70s, early 80s, decided to take over the whole industry and basically did. You know, so he's been at this 40-something years. You can tell a 30-year-old man just kind of ran through the whole industry. And you know, it was all territories and different wrestling factions and all went bye-bye. He bought them all out or chased them out of the business.
Yeah. When the day comes that Vince McMahon is no longer here.
Okay.
All right. What does that do to professional wrestling?
Oh, well, you know what? It's a good question. You know, I don't know about it. I don't know that answer. I don't think I have that answer. To me, I'm out of wrestling. I've tried to kind of watch it, and it's 30 seconds of some guys running around in the ring and diving off things, and you know, it's just a lot of yelling and screaming and throwing things at each other and jumping off of ladders. So to me, wrestling's done as far as I'm concerned. I would probably even pay attention less, but I don't know how I could.
Well, right now, that is.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. But right now, that's the way we feel about it because that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And maybe we see a resurgence in our lifetime. I don't know.
Maybe.
But you got to think that wrestling somewhere along the line is going to come back. You know, it's destined to come back. It just has so many times in the past.
Sure. Yeah, I would imagine. That you get younger kids. You get new blood. Sure, I would agree with that. There's a chance.
But with the WWE, for right now, that's probably... a corporation, of course, at this point in time.
Yeah.
It's like if Vince McMahon is no longer involved, if he retires, he dies, whatever the case is, how does that continue? Because who's going to be the face of the WWE? I mean, Christ, even fucking Triple H is going to be closing in on 60, so.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. I don't know. I think you'd almost have to dig into the past. Like, you would need, like, Steve Austin or The Rock to become the face of the WWE at this point to probably save it. I don't even think Triple H could save it. Maybe what's his name? Undertaker. Somebody of that ilk would have to step in and take over for, I think, to generate that kind of interest again. Don't you think?
I don't know if the Undertaker would be the guy simply because of the way his character was.
I agree.
Does the character hold enough weight as a character that he could become a person?
Well,
or is he pigeonholed into that character? Or does he even want to be bothered?
Yeah, again, I mean, does The Rock want to be bothered? The guy's running football leagues. The guy, you know, he's still a huge movie star. There's talk of him running for president someday. I don't know where that came from, but I've heard that story. So, yeah, I don't know who the answer is, but to me, Vince McMahon's kids aren't going to save it. They need to get, somebody's got to be the face, whether it's just a puppet, like, bring back Hulk Hogan. Make Hulk Hogan the every week guy. I'm not saying to wrestle. I'm just saying to be.
No, I know what you're saying, but even to be the face of it, to run it, he's too old.
Yeah, I agree. He's
70 years old.
Yeah, he's our age. You need, like, the younger generation, the kids who were, like my kids' age, our kids' age, who are in their 20s, early 30s, who grew up on Stone Cold Steve Austin as kids and The Rock as a wrestler. Again, you need somebody of that ilk to step in to be the face of the WWE to, they think, to have a chance. Otherwise, I don't know, Jeff. I don't know what they can do to generate any kind of real excitement. I think everything's been done. It's just,
as far as matches and everything, yeah, I think you're right. I don't see any matches. What new matches could possibly come out that you could say, wow, I'm glad that they did this? I mean, they got the Elimination Chamber where, all of that shit goes on, Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Years ago, it used to be a steel cage match. And,
oh.
Being strap match.
I don't want to cut you off, but your guest has shown up.
You got to put him on.
So he's on the phone. I will bring him up here. Let's see. First off, Dom, are you there?
Now playing wide receiver for the Las Vegas Raiders, number 17, Davante Adams.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ask that you rise. Now taking the field for the very first time, your very own Las Vegas Buck Pirates!
Oh, Buck Pirates!
Tom, listen, we got to be serious.
All right, go ahead. Dom, go ahead. This is your moment, man. Go ahead.
The moves they made in the last 2 days, Chandler Jones getting in, the safety, Sin,
Pirates
today, Davante Adams, that's huge.
Yeah, listen, no doubt that is a big move, predicated by the signing of the head coach, Josh McDaniels. This is a game changer. I'm shocked by it. I don't know what the full terms of the deal is, but this is a shocking development.
Well, right now it's 5 years, $141.
Oh, so they gave him an increase. Okay, so they gave him $20-something million. Well, what did they give the Packers?
Right now, I saw a number one and other picks. They didn't stipulate what other picks it was, but it doesn't really matter what other picks it was. Because when you can get a receiver the caliber of Davante Adams, you can trade three number ones.
I'm not disagreeing. Huh?
Isn't he like 31 years old?
I don't think he's that old, is he?
I think so. Dom, how old is he?
I think he's just 30.
He is age 29 at this moment. He will turn 30 this year, but not till December. So he's 29.
Three number ones for a 30-year-old.
I'm not definitely saying it's three number ones. I'm just saying even if it is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm going to look up, see if I catch it on Bleacher Report, what the terms of the deal are. Give me 1 second. So in the meantime, Dom, the division's gotten better. Obviously, the Broncos are a little bit better. The Chargers are better. Now your Raiders are better. What's your thoughts?
Well, the Raiders had to do something to stay with the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Chiefs because they keep improving. They keep bringing people in, and now they had to do something. And they had to give Carr a number one receiver. He played with Carr at Fresno State. They wanted to play together again. And now their offense looks like it's going to be full go.
But have they done enough to make a difference? I mean, they were probably at best the third best team in that division before this trade. You know, some people would argue they were the fourth best team, maybe. Do you think that this trade, and by the way, it says two prime picks. It doesn't say number ones, number twos. It just said in exchange for two prime picks.
ESPN says a number one, but it doesn't give the second pick.
Yeah, it just says two prime picks. So I'm assuming what's a number one, and maybe it's going to be a number two. Maybe it's a number one down the road. Who knows? But, Dom, has the Raiders made up enough now to say jump them into the third or second best team in the division?
I think the second best team in the division.
Wow, Jeff, can you go along with that?
I don't know, man. First of all, it's still early. We got to see what happens and what the other teams do. Did they get better? Yeah, but Dom, let me ask you this. Mariota, he is a free agent, correct?
Yes.
What happens if Carr gets hurt? If you're going to invest these pieces, you're going to want to have somebody to be your backup quarterback. They can't just take anybody as their backup now. They seem to be
going. Yeah, but you don't think about getting a backup right now. You don't think about your star quarterback getting hurt. You're not dependent on that right now. You're not worried about that at this time.
No, I know, but you just want to make sure that you get somebody that's, you know, can play.
Yeah, but that's never a necessity to get, you know, sit there and the off season going, all right, now we got to go get our backup quarterback.
I don't know. What do you think, Tom?
Listen, I think it's definitely something that I understand. What I think you're meaning is you can't go all in at this point and then have to take a chance on your starting quarterback getting hurt, and then you're gonna turn to Mike Glennon or Nick Foles to be your quarterback for a team who just invested all of this money with Chandler Jones and Davante Adams and everything else. So I understand your point, Jeff. I just think it's very hard to be able to afford a competent backup quarterback in this day and age. It's probably the one position where you want to spend money, but you can't because you spend money there, and it hurts you other places.
I'm not saying
Jeff,
not
who's
on
Jeff? Let me ask you a question. Jeff, who's the backup quarterbacks for Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and the San Diego quarterback Herbert?
I don't even know who they are. But
Seattle would have been Geno Smith up in, but in right now, I don't know who his backup is, Russell Wilson.
See what I'm saying? They're not worried about backups right now. If the other teams in your division are not worried about backups right now, that's not a problem.
Pirates
priority.
Yeah, but you don't even have a backup right now.
But who's the backup for Kansas City?
What's that?
Who's the backup for Kansas City?
Well, I'm not talking about Kansas City. You're talking about the Butt Pirates.
Yeah, but you're saying that they have to have a backup. They got to have a backup. If KC doesn't have a backup, they're done too. Denver doesn't have a backup. But you can't say one team has to worry about it and the three other teams in the division don't have to worry about it, right or wrong.
I hear you, but we're not talking about the three other teams. We're talking specifically about the Las Vegas Raiders. That's what we're talking about. And we also have to add in that conversation that Derek Carr, or David Carr, whatever his name is at this point in time.
Derek Carr
has never really been given, you know, the keys to the fucking car, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, there's always been that hint that he may not make it through the season. They may get rid of him. They may trade him. They may release him. Uh-huh. Whatever the case is, they never stood behind him.
He was never threatened to be released.
Well, traded, whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, listen, Dom, it's a good move. I think they're not done. I don't know. I would solidly say that they're the third best team in the division. I still think it's a battle between Kansas City and San Diego. But you guys have definitely put yourselves in a good spot. It's been a fun off season so far. Real quick, give me your thoughts on the Yankees this week. I wanted to talk a little baseball anyway. Give me thoughts on the Yankees. They make the trade for Donaldson, get rid of Sanchez. It's win-win. Looks like Rizzo's in. Freeman went to Freeman goes to the Dodgers. What's your thoughts on the Yankees' moves this week?
First of all, Hal Steinbrenner is fucking a jerk off of an owner because he's not an owner. He's a businessman. His father's probably turning over in his grave right now. There was five contracts this offseason, 180, 170, 160, and two $80 million contracts, and not one of them the Yankees dished out. When's the last time the Yanks never dished out a large contract and all these other contracts went, all the teams are spending?
Tom, do you know that right now, after the Dodger trade, they'll be the third highest payroll in baseball? They're at $230 million. The Mets, I think, are $250, and the Dodgers are going to be at $260 or $270. Don't forget, they did make an offer to Freeman. He didn't take it. So, I didn't want Correa or Trevor Story. Who's the guy that you would have wanted that they didn't go get?
I would have liked to have Kyle Schwarber for left field.
But he's
not going to strike out as much as Gallo.
You're stuck with Gallo for this year. You're stuck. You got Stanton and Judge. So there's your outfield. You got Hicks back. There's four. They weren't going to bring Schwarber in to do that. So I get it. I'm not against the Schwarber thing, but I don't think Schwarber is the guy who's making a break in this team. The only problem I have with the Yankees is they took on the Stanton contract, which is killing them at this point. Although he played,
they have a couple contracts that are killing them, and they have, first of all, they got to bring in a pitcher. They got to bring in a number two starter.
Well, again, I'm not disagreeing, but there's a lot of people who think that between Cole, Montgomery, Montgomery pitched really well last year. Severino is probably going to be back this year, and then you got the Nestor Cortez, and you got to hope that a couple of these kids in the minors step up. I mean, I don't like what Hal Steinbrenner said this week. I thought when he came out and said, "Well, we lost money the last couple of years, so we couldn't sign a big thing," I thought that was terrible. But the truth is, the only two spots you really could have brought in guys for big contracts would have been shortstop and maybe catcher. And even catcher, there wasn't a big guy in the market this year. So to me, I didn't want any of the big shortstops for 10 years. You got guys coming up in the minors. I like the trade they made. Are they going to win a World Series this year? I don't know. But, I'm not going to blame them for not spending another 10-year, $160 million contract or $300 million contract, Tom. That's where I disagree with you.
No, I totally understand. I'm just saying, but when's the last time you saw so many contracts and the Yanks didn't dish out one?
I got it, but that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. I agree with you to a certain extent, but, when Cano got all that money, that was a bad thing. When Stanton got all that money, that was a bad thing. Lindor did not live up to his contract last year. So just because you're not giving out that kind of contract doesn't mean you're not. Look at Tampa Bay. They barely spend $80 million, and they're a game from winning a World Series. So I don't put a lot of stock in the fact. I don't like the fact that he said that. I think that's came out completely wrong on it. But I think Donaldson would be an upgrade at third base. Rizzo's obviously an upgrade at first base over Voit. I think the Yankees are set. The only thing they could do right now is maybe trade Torres for a pitcher, which could happen.
I could see that happening because where's LeMay going to play?
Well, LeMayo's going to be the guy that just what they said he was going to be. He'll play a game or two at second. He'll play a game or two at third. He'll play a game or two at first. And Rizzo and Donaldson will get days off to be a DH. And, LeMayo will play, six out of 7 days or five out of 7 days a week. So he's going to play.
How are they going to DH? What are they going to sit, Stanton?
No, Stanton. Well, don't forget. Stanton played a lot of outfield last year, and he's going to play a lot of outfield this year. So you're going to see that happen. Those guys will play, and LeMayo will get a day off during the week. I don't like it. He'll play second base, give Torres a day off. Stan's going to play, believe me. I'm sorry, that's not LeMayo's going to play and play a lot. And don't forget, he had a rough year last year. If he don't bounce back, we might not be having this conversation in 2 months. So he's got to bounce back to where he was 2 years ago. So, but good job. How's the leg, Dom? I heard I saw some stuff. You took a little tumble, hurt your leg. You okay?
24 stitches and a real deep gash. It's kind of messed up.
Okay.
So I got to wait another week before the stitches come out.
All right. Well, again, your cousin, I told you, you need anything, you know where we are.
You were talking, you and Jeff were talking about wrestling before, about like the difference between now and when 15, 20 years ago with Stone Cold and Cena, The Rock, The Undertaker.
Yes, we were talking about that. What's up?
There's nobody out there right now that can lead the way those guys led.
I agree. Again, it's a different era. It's a different time. It's definitely there's not the personalities that there were 20 or 30 years ago, Dom. So I agree.
Plus, they overkilled it with NXT and AEW now, and it's just too much.
Well, you know, Dom, I disagree with that to a certain extent. You know, WWE for years had all these different, you know, Raws and Monday nights and Saturday nights and main event. And, you know, the difference is there were electrifying personalities that people gravitated to. And I don't feel that you're getting that today. So, but it is what it is. But now, listen, go take care of yourself. Again, I told you, we're here if you need us. And, you know, don't be a stranger to the show. We miss you. We miss having you on.
Yeah, really.
Thank you very much.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon.
All right. Later, Jeff. Later, Tom.
Later, Jeff. Later, Dom. So, yeah, that's our good buddy, Dom Ginta. And, Jeff, you okay? You want to wrap it up? You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just took the opportunity to do a little in thinking there.
All right. Again, Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom here every Thursday night. We got still a couple more things to get to tonight, so thanks for sticking around.
I think the half man missed what I was saying.
He did. He wasn't going to get it.
The Raiders are trying to take a big step forward.
Correct.
You know, and now you don't want to end up signing like somebody that's just total garbage. I know it's not important. I understand.
It is. If you watched the Giants last year, you saw the difference. Now, I know you're not a huge Daniel Jones fan, but when Jones went out and you had to start playing Mike Glennon every week, it was basically no chance to score touchdowns and no chance to win a game. So I get your point. You just spent all this money with Devontae Adams, and now your Derek Carr goes down, God forbid, and you look on this bench, and next thing you know, you're looking at, you know, Jake Fromm. You just saw a little bit of foresight into who's the backup to Derek Carr is not the dumbest thing in the world.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, so I got your point. I know what you're saying. He just... I don't know if there was a chemical or a liquid that was interfering with his brain cells, but we do love the half man.
One's a spray for him.
We do love the half man. So again, keep checking in, guys. Got a couple more things to get to. We're not much into music this week. Got two quick stories. Did you read the Dolly Parton thing?
Yes, I saw it. I did not get too into it.
I did.
About the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but it seems as though that she wants to be out of the consideration of going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Correct.
Because she is not a rock and roll artist.
Correct. She basically said, my husband has wanted me for years. He's a huge rock and roll guy, has wanted me to put out a rock and roll album or some songs. I haven't done it. I have no reason to be in contention to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at this time. Although coming out of that, she said that she wanted to... you know, now she's thinking about making that rock and roll record at 70-something years old. And I believe she's teaming with one of the Wilson sisters.
Another blonde.
Yes, to do a rock, some sort of a rock album. So that's interesting. But I thought that was really nice of Dolly Parton to say, you know what, you know, thank you, but I'm not worthy of being in there. Put somebody in that deserves it. So good for her. I thought it was a very classy move.
Yeah. I definitely agree.
You know, so I think you don't see that often nowadays. People take stuff like that and they run with it just to do it. So good for Dolly Parton. Jeff.
Her career, not much has gone on with her career in the last few years.
I don't follow country much, to be honest with you. I haven't seen her in any movies in a long time. And
she's too old for that now anyway.
Yeah.
She used to be all over the the newspapers and everything, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, 80s and 90s, she was gotten to be a big, not only music star, but movie star.
Yeah.
Did a bunch of movies. So, but quieted down, the woman, 76 years old, that's apt to happen, owns Dollywood and all that other good stuff. But I thought it was a classy move by a classy lady to do the right thing and step out of the way.
I agree.
So, good for that. Jeff, I got to bring up the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Mr. Tom Brady is back with the football.
Well, go on. Keep talking about him. I'm going to go grab a... This is the bad thing about doing the show down here. I am just simple a few yards away from pizza, which I'm going to go get a slice now. But keep doing it, man. Go ahead.
You know what? I want to switch it from Tom Brady. We're going to end the show with Tom Brady. But I want to talk about unvaxxed players in baseball. So we all know the Kyrie Irving story, where Kyrie Irving is not allowed to play home games in Madison Square Garden, in the Barclays Center, because he's an unvaxxed player. Yet teams can come into the Barclays Center from out of town with unvaxxed players, and they can play. So why is this important? Well, one, obviously the playoffs are coming, and the Nets are obviously a much better team with Kyrie Irving than they are without him. So he has been banking on the fact that at some point Eric Adams, new mayor of New York City, will lift these things, but now people woke up to the fact, thanks to the Carton and Roberts show, that baseball players have the same problem. And now guys like Aaron Judge, who people are suspecting is not vaccinated, will not be able to play 80 home games in New York City if he is not vaccinated based on the rules now. And Jeff, people are now starting, you know, this isn't one player on one team in basketball. This is, you know, an entire two teams that we don't know how many guys aren't vaccinated, and as the rules state, they can't play baseball right now.
It could be a big problem.
Sure, you have two teams spending $500 million in salary, and best players can't go to Canada, and they can't play home games.
Not only that, but, you know, think of it this way. In basketball, they're playing 81 games, only 40 at home or 41 at home.
Correct.
Whatever it is. Baseball, that's 162 games.
81
so
at home.
If you're missing half the games, that's 80-something games that you're missing right there.
Yeah. Yeah, and another nine games because you can't go to Canada and play.
Games, you know, it could be a big problem. Your big star can end up playing 50 games.
That's...
Plus, don't forget to put in his factor his injury time.
100%. So... obviously the teams are lobbying the thing, and we all know that the buffoon who was in the office before put this in without much foresight on how he pulled the plug in. You know, Jeff, you know, I understand Eric Adams in the quandary. You know, you just laid off, I believe it's 1,400 city workers a few months ago, lost their jobs. Countless people like yourself who work for the city were forced to go get a vaccine they didn't want to get to keep their job. And now, months later, you're going to go, okay, we don't have to do that anymore. And now the guy who was fired is watching a whole bunch of people take his job because they don't have to be vaccinated. Jeff, so the city knows that they're trying to avoid a huge fine, a huge lawsuits. But here's the bigger problem. You know, now you're talking about two of the biggest teams in the town who are going to have to figure out how to play without some of their better players if they choose not to get vaccinated. It's an interesting quandary right now.
Are the sports considered private sector?
I would get, they're not city or state employees, so I'd say they're private sector, yeah.
So, I mean, that would be up to the...
No.
Yeah, those jobs have more than 100 people working.
Correct, yes. Yep.
So, yeah, so there's not much that they can do about it.
Not at the moment. That's the problem. So I've heard people say that they're going to make those guys work for different companies and be loaned to them and on lease. And I've heard all sorts of stuff. I don't know how they're going to get around it. Everybody's just hoping that at some point Adams and the city decide to lift the mandate and these guys will go back to normal. So I think that's the hope and belief. But there's no guarantee, and baseball season's 3 weeks away. So it's going to be interesting how this all plays out. So I wanted to get that in there. Again, Yankees and Mets both having interesting off seasons. Mets with Scherzer. Yankees signed trade for Josh Donaldson and signed Rizzo. So I think both teams have done their job. And they're number two and three, respectfully, in the in baseball as far as their salary cap salaries. So, you know, you can't blame either team for not spending the money. They're both doing it. So we'll get more and more into baseball. I want to get back to Tom Brady. So, Jeff, the biggest news, and maybe not the most shocking news, I think a lot of people, including some of us here, thought maybe there'd be a good chance that Tom Brady would return. He has. It has a huge impact on the game. But what was your first thought the moment you realized Tom Brady was back? You thought he was gone, but now he's back.
I hate him even more. I can't despise the man any more than I do now. That's what I thought.
You thought.
And then he retired and came back. I just don't understand the point that he's trying to prove.
Well, you know, here's the thing. The guy threw for 5,000 yards last year, 40 touchdowns, had one of his, could easily have been the MVP of the league, walked off the field in his last game with the lead, having just made a huge comeback, and wound up going home based on the defense shit in the bed. You know, I thought it was the nuttiest thing that he retired.
Well, one day it's going to happen.
Agreed. Listen, I agree with you. You said it, and I don't disagree with you, that one of these days, you know, the arm's not going to be there, the mobility's not going to be there, and that, frankly, I don't know how good this team's going to be. You know, I hate to see Tom Brady go out there and take a beating this year and wind up, you know, 7-9. You know, I think that would be the worst thing, and I would wish that he would have retired and gone out the way he did. But the guy still got, so I think the guy still got something to take. I just think he was hoping him retiring would have gotten him an opportunity to get traded to the 49ers.
Well, you know what? If that was the case, he's Tom Brady. He could have made that happen. He could have leaned on some people, or his agent could have helped out, done something. Something would have happened. Second of all, why do you want to stay with a team that's older? Okay? You were older last year. Now you're even older than you were last year, and you lost some pieces this year.
You lost a lot of pieces this year, yeah.
You know, so, like you said, I don't care if